The Kings are on the air. This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Lance Erline. And live from Chicago, here's John Granato.
Welcome back on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. John Gruden resigned as the head coach. More emails. It's interesting, Lance, this whole thing. This was an investigation into the Washington football team and their practices, all those emails that came out. This goes back to 2011, where John Gruden was sending emails to Bruce Allen and making saying stupid stuff. It was 2011. I guess it was a more racist time then, but you know, it's interesting that the only emails that have leaked to, I think it was, what was it, the Washington Post or the New York Times, wherever, were once about John Gruden. Nothing about the Washington football team has leaked to anywhere.
No, and that's where it started. But let me tell you something. As soon as it, did you see what he called Goodell?
Yeah.
Yeah, he F-bombed him.
Yeah, with the other F.
And I was like, oh, good luck trying to, the league was going to make sure that everything got leaked that needed to get leaked. Mike Florio, I know, talked about that, where he kind of wondered out loud, hey, what was the response of the GM and the owner for Washington, some of those emails? Is that out there? 650,000 emails, and it's Gruden stuff that leaked. And I think he might have survived the DeMaurice Smith one, because his players, you know, did not make a huge fuss about it at all. Once the other ones come out, you see he went after the league or Goodell for putting pressure on Jeff Fisher and the Rams to draft Michael Sam. He called him queer in the email. Yeah. I guess had derogatory things to say about women, about it was very
some topless pictures.
Yeah, he had some general. They wouldn't go into
one
details.
One of them was a Washington football team cheerleader.
Well, they wouldn't go into details. Also, by the way, of things he said about other people, but they said, needless to say, it's in there. You know, the argument now I'm seeing is what he said. You know, how is he getting in trouble for something he typed 7 years ago? Or it's over the last 7 years, I guess, and 11 years ago. And I get all that stuff. Did you really think you can make a what came off as a bigoted statement about someone's lips? You know the trope. I mean, that was already touchy enough. Then you come out and you find out that what he said about Sam and then Goodell, he's going to drop that on Goodell. And then I guess he had a lot of other stuff too. He wasn't going to survive it. I mean, it's just too much. I don't think his players would have cared that much, to be honest with you, about everything breaking. If they were riding with him, they were riding with him. I don't think they cared. But Mark Davis, the juice wasn't worth the squeeze, I don't think. And he just decided to cut bait. That's going to do it for Gruden. Like, you're not going to see Gruden back. There's not going to be Gruden on in the booth somewhere. Like, no one's going to touch Gruden. That's going to be it for him. So I think we've probably seen the last of Gruden in a prominent position.
Oh yeah.
You know, what did you think about Clay Travis got Deshaun? I'm like, I saw Deshaun Watson trending. I'm like, what is he trending for now? You can't look. Deshaun Watson trends every third day. Like, what is it this time? 4,000 and some odd. I'm like, please don't say he did anything. Or, you know, it's probably going to be something about a trade. And it was Clay Travis mentioning Deshaun Watson gets accused of 24, has 24 cases or whatever. I thought it's 22, isn't it? Or is it up to 24 again?
It's 22. Yeah, no, but then there's two women.
Didn't they have two add-ons maybe?
I think two.
Oh, that weren't with Rusty, I think. They weren't with Rusty. Anyway, he compared the two. Deshaun Watson is still capable, able to play. And then people are like, the league, no, he's actually sitting out, you know, so it doesn't matter because he's not playing. Well, he's getting paid. Look, yeah, it's a weird look for Deshaun Watson to keep raking in money when all these charges are filed and he's sitting here, or the lawsuits are filed. And I guess there's still criminal stuff that is pending in terms of the investigation. Yeah, it's a weird look for the NFL to have him technically able to play. And I get the fact that he's not guilty right now. You're innocent until proven guilty. But for these to all be out there, that is a strange look. But that's a strange look regardless of what John, like, to try to conflate the two or to try to even bring them together, both are wrong. What John Gruden did is going to be a problem. And what Deshaun Watson did is going to be a problem. I don't see how you try to balance them out. Well, what about this? What about this? What about either one of them? But the point about Deshaun Watson still technically being able to play, I will admit, I mean, you and I talked about this before. That's very strange that the league hasn't stepped in and made some kind of designation for Deshaun Watson. I don't think they can suspend him yet because they don't know the depth of what is going to take place here. He's going to be suspended. The question, I think, is going to be how long, and then does anything else arise out of this? We haven't heard anything new, John, so my guess is what you see is what you get with Deshaun stuff. But I don't know. I don't know. Is there a double standard with the league or not? I mean, I don't know. I don't.
No, this is.
It's kind of different situations, but
way different. And Deshaun will be suspended. And Deshaun will come back. Deshaun is going to be able to play football again. Michael Vick did. It's different with a player, certainly, than it is with a. And you know what? The hideous Greg Hardy was able to play. It's, you know. Is there a double standard? Yeah, I guess if you're going to send some racist and homophobic emails, then yeah, you're gonna face the consequences of it. Especially if you're a coach, because you can always replace a coach. It's hard to replace a Deshaun Watson.
Well, here's what Lamont says. I'm looking at the things John Gruden said in his emails, and it hit me. I say the same stuff. Well, then don't coach the Raiders.
Yeah, you can't. Well, Lamont,
you're never going to be able to be a head coach in the NFL, Lamont.
No. No,
or Lamont, college football. I'll just go ahead and say this, Lamont. If you ever go coach college or pro football, I'm pretty sure your Twitter is going to be brought up within 7 seconds.
You know who's the happiest guy today? Who? Urban Meyer.
Oh, Urban Meyer cannot thank John Gruden enough.
Thank you, John. I took all the heat off of me. By the way, Urban Meyer's wife signed off on Twitter. She said, I'm done. Bye. Peace out. Loved you guys. Bye. I'm done. Because I'm sure she has had plenty of comments and plenty of people sending videos. You know, and
Twitter would just shut down forever.
What?
Yeah, it'd be great.
So much fun.
Nah, it'd be great. Watching people whose entire existence revolves around their self-importance with Twitter.
Yeah.
Watching them not have it anymore. Like, what do I don't exist anymore. Where's my check mark? What happened? I need to be on there to make sure people know how performative I am. Oh, sorry. I guess you can't be. And by the way, are we not even going to mention what happened with the Colts and Ravens? Oh, what a way to lose the game for the Colts. You had to have like 7 things go right if you were the Ravens right now are the luckiest team in pro football.
Yeah, their first week win was they went to Kansas City and they won.
Kansas City blew that one. They needed a 66-yard field goal and an improbable 4th-and-19 against the Lions.
Right.
And they needed a block field goal, a touchdown, a 2-point conversion, the ball in overtime. Like, they needed so many. Oh, and also a missed field goal, by the way, from Rodrigo Blankenship. Like, they had. Now, Lamar just ripped their butts apart. But I also blame the Colts for playing a super, super soft zone. Like, no one was covered the entire game.
Yeah.
Well, not in the second half.
Well, that's just the Colts this year, huh? The Texans got the Colts this week, and we will talk about that as the week progresses. And not nearly as much as we're going to talk about our team.
No. Let's get Greg. You want to talk about the Astros right now with Greg?
Yeah.
Let's get Greg in here right now. What's up, Greg? He wants to talk about pitching. How you doing, Greg?
I'm doing great. How are you guys doing?
Doing good.
Lance, I have no reason to believe that you've ever been in a legitimate street fight, and I've had every reason to believe that John has been in several street fights. Maybe it's a Canadian whiskey thing. But I really think that Dusty Baker has a card up his sleeve, and that is telling Lance McCullers to bean every player until he walks and runs, until the bench is clear, and get every Cuban-born Astros player armed with a blade to just start stabbing the you-know-what out of the opposing team. And he's sitting on it because that is an old man who's a tough guy.
Good call, Greg.
To what now?
I don't know. He wants the Astros to stab people to death.
He
wants all the Latin players to carry knives and stab people.
Mm-mm. The Cuban players.
Yeah, the Cuban players to stab people
Carlos
up.
Carlos is Puerto Rican, right? I mean, so he doesn't get one?
I fought over, that guy has no idea. I had a fist fight over Hakeem Olajuwon and Patrick Ewing.
Street fight?
I fought over the center of the Houston Rockets, because even then he was the GOAT to me. And I carried a blade, and I'm not even Cuban. And I stabbed a guy up. No, I shouldn't even joke about that. I didn't stab anybody. I don't carry a blade. I don't carry
There's an HPD cold case worker going, I got him.
This is
I don't know.
I didn't understand. Like,
I didn't get it either.
Dusty thing and the now Dusty hitting people. Yeah, I think Dusty would love to hit people. I don't know about the blade. I think he went too far in the joke with the blades. The
blade might be
and all that. That didn't really make sense joke.
Why honestly. Are the Cuban guys only get knives? What about the rest of the guys?
Anybody can have a knife. Let's get Gary in here. No. Rolando was next up. Let's get Rolando in here. Gilbert just hung up. You want to talk Astros? He's out. What's up, Rolando?
Hey, what's up, guys? How y'all doing?
Good.
Hey, I want to talk about, I think we should move Yuli to the eighth spot and bring up Rake Meyer. He's looking good, and Yuli's not. I don't know if we should put in Diaz for Yuli just yet. And Yumi, whatever Garcia, that guy, he got to go. He sucks, man. I think we Oden Rizzi should have got the spot over him. Thank y'all. Have a great day.
Yeah, I agree. I think Oden Rizzi's going to be on the ALCS roster, and Yumi might have to sit. Yumi, thanks, but got to go. I don't know. Dusty's infatuation with him bringing it's unbelievable how bad Yumi has been this year, and to go to him in those situations, you almost got to take that toy away. You almost got to do it. Click. Let's go. You got to take the toy away. If you got to do it, you got to do it. All right, 713-780-3776 is the number. When we come back, Coach Cully, this is starting to become a regular thing with Coach Cully, how, hey, man, if I could do it over again, I'd do it different.
No,
it's like every week. So we'll talk about that on the
He's
other
learning
side.
On the job. What do you want?
Well, that's right. Well, we'll talk about it. But first, I want to talk about GetRoman.com/John. Listen, if you've got issues in the boudoir, you don't have to anymore, because there is help. And with Roman, a free online evaluation for your ongoing care for ED, all from the comfort and privacy of your home. This is a great thing, because you don't have to go to the doctor and talk to him face-to-face and that embarrassing situation, and then go to the pharmacy. Your ED medicine is ready. Please come to the window. Oh, no. So, listen, you do it at Get Roman. You do it online. Free 2-day shipping if medication is appropriate. The whole process, straightforward and discreet. GetRoman.com/John. Complete the online visit, and you will talk to a U.S. licensed healthcare professional. Go to GetRoman.com/John now to get $15 off your first month. Look, there's a straightforward way to take care of your ED. GetRoman.com/John. Get started now to save $15 on your first month of treatment. GetRoman.com/John.
This is Jose Altuve, and you're listening to Jung and Lance on ESPN 97.5. Brought to you by Golf Course Chevrolet, Buick, and GMC.
This is The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Now coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Lance Erline, and live from Chicago, here's John Granato.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Coach Cully met the media yesterday, and he had some splaining to do. We didn't understand after the game how he it was like, there was a lot of gibberish going on as far as whether or not they should have taken the penalty, whether or not they should have, have let them score. All of that stuff. Well, he explained it a little bit better, yes, but it's once again it's Coach Culley saying, man, I wish I could do that. Well,
yeah.
That's what a coach has to do in the heat of the moment.
If I had a chance to do it all over again, I think I would do these things different. We should have a weekly, and it always happens on, it's always the Monday press conference. Every once in a while, it's the Tuesday. But, like, today he'll come back and kind of make a slight alteration of something he said yesterday. Yeah. But you're right. David Culley is on the job. He's talking out loud. He's using his inside voice at his press conferences.
Right. Here's him talking about doing it different again.
I should have declined the penalty. If I had it to do over again, I would have declined the penalty. Well, it wasn't a pass. I was thinking there was a pass. What ended up happening is that during that time, I thought the clock got stopped. I had actually stopped the clock with the timeout. And then I had no more timeouts left at that point. And so, but again, if I had it to do over again, I would have allowed him to score.
See, that's something.
I love the honesty, though. Yeah, this is the third time he's done. This is the third time he's been really honest. It's I love it, but it's gone from refreshing honesty to like, ooh, he's just reiterating his incompetence.
Basically,
isn't he?
He's well, and
you know
and
what? That's my bad again.
Should we?
I did it again.
Not expect it. He was such an unexpected hire. He was not trained for this. He was a quarterback's coach and a wide receiver's coach. Was he ever in on the decision-making processes to how you go about this? You know, listen, it's not a bad thing that they're 1-4, whatever they are right now. What are they? 1-4? It's not a bad thing because they're still what, fifth right now? If they were picking today, fifth or sixth,
right.
They got a lot of work to do to get up there and get that, you know, so that they can get that.
I have faith in them, though.
Pardon me?
I have faith in them.
I have faith that they're going to lose a lot more, too. Don't get me wrong. And maybe Coach Culley, maybe it's just a grand plan, you know, but Casario's back there going, yeah, Coach Culley screwed it up again. I did my job. We're losing the right way, okay? I don't know. He didn't expect. He said in his press conference yesterday, we didn't expect to be here. You know, at 1-4. Well, then you're the only one that didn't expect. You actually, a lot of people expected you to be 0-5 at this point.
Right? Yeah, I mean.
So
I'll be honest. We weren't sure where you're going to be, Jacksonville. Although, actually, John. What you and I said exactly was, well, this is the – well, first of all, we did predict they would beat Jacksonville. Yep. So, slow down. We had them beating Jacksonville and then losing the rest of them.
Right.
And then losing. And the Colts now – the Colts have gone from potentially being 2-3 and then 3-3 and being right back in it to they're 1-4. Their loss yesterday is going to be devastating to them. And now you're the Titans. You're just in cruise control. You just don't want to screw things up. If you're the Titans, you just want to make your 38-yard field goals. By the way, new NFL record, a missed extra point. Rodrigo Blankenship missed an extra point. So we have a new record, 13 missed extra points yesterday. And we were at 24 missed kicks, which was tied with an NFL record. But you had missed extra point, so that broke the NFL record. And then you added another missed field goal. We had one blocked. I think that counts as a miss. It does in fantasy football. And then you had another miss, or an actual missed field goal. John, did you happen to see when they had a field goal at the end of the half with Blankenship, and all of a sudden the punter was kicking a field goal and Nyheim Hines was holding? Like, what the hell happened to Rodrigo Blankenship? They got an offsides penalty on Marlon Humphrey. The kick was no good. He missed it. It was close. He missed it. And then all of a sudden Rodrigo Blankenship comes running on the field. The 5-yard penalty, so they move forward 5 yards. Rodrigo Blankenship, you know, the punter becomes a holder like he's supposed to be instead of kicking. Nyheim Hines goes off the field, and Blankenship kicks the field goal and makes it. I never heard about, could he not find his helmet? Was he taking a crap? Like, and they said, well, the Colts wouldn't talk about what it was. They just said he's dealing with some issues. And I'm like, okay, he's got the runs. He had to have the runs. How does he run out there for the very next kick and make it?
Hey, guys, are just if they got the runs, they just do it right there in their pants. And then and kick the ball. Let's go. It's just go in your pants. There's plenty of guys that do that.
Wright talked about it, about why Blankenship wasn't in there. Apparently, it was an injury problem.
He had a hip issue early. You know, happened in the first quarter, I think. And
Obviously, it affected him, but, you know, I give him credit for fighting through it. You know, we didn't have any other answer, so, you know, he fought through it, and so proud of him for doing that.
I don't know. I mean, kicked the 48-yarder. Why wouldn't the punter out there kicking the 48-yarder to win the game? I'm not buying that. He had an injury, but 5 yards closer, he could kick, and he kicked it just fine. But all of a sudden, you know, you're 48 yards out. Get your punter back out there to kick again if he's injured. I don't know. It doesn't really matter. He missed the kick. He pulled it left after the other one was blocked by Calais Campbell. But, I mean, he's still covered. Still +7. I mean, he's still got to cover.
Yeah, they covered. That was important.
You know, what's funny, Aaron?
+7.5.
It's a devastating loss to the Colts that may knock them. My good friend who's the GM over there is probably about to vomit all over himself after the guy. As a matter of fact, I guarantee you that he tore the whole place down yesterday.
Should I send them this and all the other Indianapolis sports radio stations? Just send them this so they can use this too?
Monday, moral victory Monday. Well, no. The Colts, that's not a moral victory for them.
No.
But for the gamblers out there, what you could say is, you know, at least I was getting 7 to 7.5. I mean, at least you're getting the points.
Right.
So I just don't think that's something I should text the Ballard this morning. Hey, listen.
I covered easily.
Listen, the good news is you still got the cover. That's not going to play. That won't go over well.
So what's the blame here? What do you think is going on in Indianapolis? Who are they firing shots at?
They just have a ton of injuries. So they had both their corners. They were on a practice squad corner. Xavier Rhodes got out. They've lost three of their top corners are out. Two of their starting offensive line was out, and they still played really well offensively. Like, they played well offensively, but defensively, they couldn't get a pass rush. The Ravens went fast. They couldn't get a pass rush. That is an issue. But to be honest with you, they just have a secondary that is just beat to hell. They lost Sendejas. They lost, not Sendejas, Sendejo. You know, your guy from Rice. He went out yesterday. They lost Xavier Rhodes in the middle of the game. Rocky Sin's not in there. Like, they've got Kenny Moore's not in there. They got a ton of injuries in the secondary, and they just got it exploited. And they've had some, you know, they've had some late losses. I don't know. Sometimes there's just not the blame yesterday went to a defense that literally couldn't squeeze a route. I thought they just played too soft a zone. But I don't think anything's on Frank. I don't think it wasn't on Carson Wentz yesterday. I don't think it was on Frank Reich. I think the defense played amazing in the first half. You know, they kept the Ravens, they broke their streak of 100 yards rushing by a mile. But we're looking at the division now. You got the Texans have one win, the Colts have one win, and the Jaguars have zero wins. My gosh, what an atrocious division.
It's the worst.
What an atrocious division.
It's the
division
new NFC right East.
Yeah. It is.
No, NFC East is better than the AFC.
You got the Dallas Cowboys, then you got, well, the Ravens did. I mean, the Eagles. Did the Eagles end up winning that game against Carolina?
Yep.
Yeah, I checked that on that. Yeah, they had the late lead. The Eagles got the W.
The football team's defense is supposed to be. It's terrible.
It's a joke. They're a farce. They're a farce, and their secondary's a farce. They're a farce.
They really are.
A lot of things are coming into focus right now. Kansas City is clearly not on the same level as Buffalo is clearly the best team in the AFC. They are clearly the best team. The Ravens are kind of pretenders right now. They've gotten three kind of lucky wins, if you really want to know the truth. The Chiefs, we know they're talented, but they don't play good defense. And Pat Mahomes right now is having a major issue with turnovers, a major issue. The Bills are for real, and then you have you better start putting some respect on. And isn't this amazing how two guys who are at the top of the food chain right now in the AFC were beaten up by Twitter and analysts? Josh Allen beat up because of where he was drafted. Justin Herbert. Can you imagine, do you remember the furor surrounding when it was leaked that the Miami Dolphins were considering Justin Herbert? Here's what I heard over the weekend. Justin Herbert was the pick by the team, but Dan Marino, who has the owner's ear, stepped up and said, we must take Tua. We must take Tua. If that is true, that Dan Marino is what caused you to take Tua over your own analysis and evaluation of Justin Herbert. Can you imagine how that must feel right
to
now?
To be fair. Now, no, it's bad. But, I mean, Herbert was a runner much more. Remember, he won. What game was it?
He did have three touchdowns in that Wisconsin, in the Rose Bowl against Wisconsin.
Yeah.
He had three touchdowns. But he was not like, he was athletic, but most of his time at Oregon, he was not that kind of runner. He was just an inconsistent passer. His flashes were awesome. But then he was inconsistent. Yeah, you're right. No, I mean, in fairness, I wanted to give him a higher grade than I did because I gave him a late first type of grade. You know, when I say a grade, I expected him to be drafted higher, but I thought it's basically the same kind of grade that I gave Tua, to be honest with you. But it was... But I don't crap on guys after they're drafted. I want to see how they play. I didn't love Daniel Jones. Josh Allen, I didn't think he could ever become this kind of quarterback because you don't usually fix inaccurate.
Right.
Usually inaccurate can't be fixed. Almost nobody has ever done that except Josh Allen. But this is why I let guys play because I'm certainly willing to be wrong about it. Let them have some snaps. This browbeating and everyone making fun of Josh Allen, what a poor idea. They did it to Daniel Jones, who I wasn't a fan of Daniel Jones's either, but Daniel Jones, Herbert caught it a little less than Allen. Allen and Jones caught it the most. Let guys play. Let them play because you know what? You may end up being wrong. I was wrong on Dak Prescott. I own it. I have no problem with being wrong on Dak Prescott. I think that's great, and I think he's playing great. I just want to be accurate. I don't want to be right. I want to be accurate with my assessment, and right now I want to be accurate. Dak Prescott's turned into... He's turning into a good quarterback, John. No, Dak is turning into a good quarterback.
Well, he's proven that, you know what, he's much better than I thought he was going to be, and he's proven that he deserved that big money. You know, he had to fight for it. Jerry just went, Tony Romo, here, buddy, here, take all the money. And Dak Prescott,
yeah,
he fought tooth and nail, and you know what? Dak is pretty damn good. Dak's going to take him a lot farther than Tony Romo ever did. It looks like. We'll see. But
they also get credit for putting some really good weapons around him, especially with Pollard stepping up. Chief.
Yeah, no question. No question about that.
All right. Wants to know, by the way, John, does this affect Frank Caliendo? Oh, yeah. Listen, I was thinking about doing Gruden on a mobile this morning. I've been weighing the pros and cons because I do a pretty good Gruden. And I'm like, you know,
yeah.
I mean, I could do the Gruden. I know where the line is. I know not to cross the line, but I just don't. He called Goodell something. Goodell technically could get rid of me, too.
No.
It's probably best I just sit and do the show, talk about Urquidy coming in after McCullers and bashing Yeamy. Isn't that the safe route? Just bash Yeamy and maybe not do a John Gruden on a mobile? I love doing the John Gruden. I love sitting here just going, man, you guys, what about Urban Meyer? Can you believe this guy out there sitting on a – you see where his hand was? You guys need to stop talking about the email and get back on that right hand. Okay, that guy's under center. Hey, I thought he took snaps out of shotgun. I guess he's working on taking snaps under center. That's where that hand was. We used to do – that was a goose call. You goose him, and it's an automatic sneak. Brady did it a lot. Man, that's all I was doing. That's all Urban said he was doing, trying to get a quarterback sneak going. I don't buy it. You guys need to jump back on that. It's more meat on that bone. Urban Meyer, man. Treat people like sock puppets. That's no good, man. We can't have that.
We got to take a break up against
Why can't we have an HR?
Now, see, you
here.
Can do that. That's fine.
That was good,
now,
right?
Like, now, I would leave Goodell out of the conversation if
Spider
I were.
Spider Y to banana. Can we get back to doing that, the fun Gruden stuff, and stop looking at people's electronic transmissions? Man, I thought that stuff was, but can we shred these things? How do you shred emails? And there's some type of, you can scrub the internet. I thought I could scrub the internet with emails. Man, who saves an email? I delete them. I put them in my delete. They're gone. I've searched before to find a receipt from Best Buy for a TV I bought. It was gone. Deleted from the Gmail. How do they have these? I have no idea. You're one to talk, Lance, about email. Talk to your father. Oh, John. Hey. Oh.
Whoa.
Yeah, I'm just saying. We need to talk about that. Get people off my back.
All right.
Man, that's good stuff right there.
713-780-3776. If you want, let's talk Astros baseball on the other side. We've got game four coming up. Lance McCullers against Carlos Rodon. Not Rodon. It really should be Rodon. It's Rodon, I guess. Rodon. Next on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Let's talk a little GiveMeTheVin.com. Let's talk a little John Clay Wolf. That's who we got to talk about. That's right. John Clay Wolf is ready for you to give him a call or go to GiveMeTheVin.com and sell him your car. He is paying you more. Period, exclamation point. It's what he does. He just gives you more for your car. And if he can't, he says, okay, I'll guarantee it. How about this? If CarMax beats my offer, you've got a bona fide CarMax offer that I can't match or beat, I'm going to send you $100. And you know what? He never does that. One time, he said, in the city of Houston, he had to because they were they outbid him by like $4,000 or $5,000. He was like, okay, no. You go ahead and take that car for that much because I certainly can't match that. But that's happened one time. Otherwise, he always beats their deals. He beats your car dealership deals. He beats them all. It's John Clay Wolf. It's what he does. He will always, always give you the most for your vehicle. You got to go to GiveMeTheVin.com. If you're going to sell that car, make sure you go to GiveMeTheVin.com. That's GiveMeTheVin.com.
My name is Bob Lee, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
The Houston Astros look to close out the Chicago White Sox in Game 4 of the ALDS. First pitch today at 1:07. Now back to the bench. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Lance Erline. And live from Chicago, here's John Granato.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. You can listen to your Astros right here, 1 o'clock, first pitch, 1:07 actually, so... We got bonus baseball. We didn't have it yesterday. Got rained out. Rained pretty hard here. So the field is probably going to be a little mushy out there. Maybe you'll be able to take an extra base. It'll take a while to get to the wall. We'll see. We'll see how that affects play today. The Astros, you know, having to talk about this crap with Ryan Tepera. There's so many emails out there now, Ryan Tepera, how much his ERA has gone up and how his spin rate has gone down since the spider tech. And who is it? He said, hey, don't ever go viral. Jackie put it out there. That, yeah. Don't go viral because this will happen to you, Ryan Tepera. And they're breaking down his spin rate now since spider tech was eliminated. And it's down. His ERA is up since Spider Tech was eliminated. So, and the Astros, you know, and Maldonado tweeted out, yep, nothing like a little extra motivation. Not that you needed any more motivation, but you know what? This now you made it personal. It's a load of crap, what he said. Who cares? It's that's done with. Hopefully it gets the guys, you know, if he comes into the game, man, lighting that dude up will be fun. That will be some kind of fun. I wonder if La Russa wouldn't comment on it yesterday. He said, I'm not talking about that stuff. I wonder if La Russa uses him today.
No. Honestly, well, you know, they've gone through a lot of relievers. No, I don't know. I hope.
Yeah.
I hope. I would love for the Astros to wreck his whole life. It would be great.
This
unsubstantiated stuff, if you know what, there's consequences for that. So hopefully the Astros would completely wreck him, just completely wreck him. And, of course, Correa is probably the best to do it because you know Correa is going to make sure that he knows.
Mm-hmm.
He knows about it. But, you know, I want to get back to a second. I want to get back for a second to what we talked about earlier. Lance McCullers is going to make the start. You think that's the right move? I'm fine with it. You think that's definitely the right move, right?
I put it out there yesterday when I found it. I said, you know what? It's an interesting move because you could have had Lance for Game 5, who's your best pitcher. You want him in Game 5. But Fromber will be on his regular rest and, you know, it was earlier in the season. Fromber was arguably your best guy. But Lance McCullers has proven to be your best pitcher. You know, go and close and shut the door on him and get that done. If you do get it done today, you know, Lance is going to get some extra rest because the Boston series won't start right away. You're starting it at home. Lance could probably pitch in Game 3 and Game 7 of that series if necessary. You certainly would like your best arm on the mound to start a series, but Fromber is more than capable and was last year your number one guy. So, it's questionable in that respect that you're not going to have your regular rotation for the ALCS, more than likely. It doesn't look like it. So that's where it's questionable. But going and shutting the door on a team in four when you got a chance to close them out with regular rest, if you brought him back on 3 days rest, I'd say, well, you know, you're just, this thing's a desperation. What are you doing this for? But with his regular rest right now, yeah, the way he dominated them, if he can do that, anything close to what he did in game one, the Astros win, and it's over, and you move on.
Well, you need the bats. I mean, but so far you've had no issues getting the bats going in the first three games. Now they went to sleep. The bats did after Tucker's home run. That was pretty much a wrap after that. But you know, if you really look at what they've done in the series, I mean, obviously it's been terrific. I'm looking at Lance's. I'm pulling up Lance's last three starts. Right, I want to pull up four, actually. So let me get to four, because Lance, he gave up four. I didn't realize he gave up four hits in the last game. Did you?
He gave up four hits? Yeah, what's the matter with four hits?
Well, nothing. I remember he was sitting on one, and then it went to two. I didn't remember it going all the way to four. Not that that's bad, but here's what his game log.
Well, the last inning, he gave up two, so that's when they pulled him at 6 2/3.
Right. Over his last seven starts, his last three games, he's gone six, gave up, last three regular season games, six innings, three hits, six innings, two hits, six innings, seven hits. He's given up two earned runs, three earned runs, two earned runs. Those are the regular season games. The last game, of course, he gave up, what was it? No earned run. Did he give up an earned run in that game one start? No.
No.
No earned runs. For him, he gave up four hits. His strikeout totals, 4, 5, 6. And how much did he end up with in game one?
Four.
I mean, this is about as good as, you know, this is, he's doing what he needs to do. Lance No. McCullers right now, this is your best shot at getting out of it. And John, I just think, and maybe this is the Houston sports fan in me where I just get super paranoid and nervous about stuff. You have two games to win one, but to me, if you got a chance to knock it out right now, let's knock it out now and throw Fromber in five. I know that may screw up what you'd like to have happen for the next series, but I don't care. I really don't care. This just has to get done.
I don't like your phrasing, you know, knocking one out. I don't know. I don't know. I think you could put it better. I'd like to see him win.
Oh, is that what you'd like to see?
Yeah. That's what I want to see.
I'd like to see him win, but if you got to knock one out, then you knock one out. That means get a victory. That's all I mean. Hey, and speaking of victory, how about your Battle of the Grills? Make sure you mark your calendars. It's going to be this Saturday, October 16th, from 1 to 3 p.m. And here's why you're marking the calendars, because it's a day that Texas Star Grill Shop is holding their first ever Battle of the Grills. So make sure that you visit Texas Star Grill Shop this Saturday, October 16th, and you're going to experience the ultimate barbecue showdown between the Old County Smokers and Traeger. They're going to battle their premier wood pellet grill, which I've been a big Traeger spokesman dating all the way back to 2009. These things are incredible. Well, they're going to square off, and there's some amazing grills out there and a great sale going on right now at all four locations. At all four locations, you've got a great opportunity to do that. This is going to be for Texas Bragging Rights, the best barbecue. Texans cheerleaders are going to be out there. You got great deals going on out there. You're going to get a vote for the winner. And, of course, you get a sample of food between 1 and 3 p.m. So deals across the board at all four locations. That's this Saturday, October 16th, from 1 to 3 p.m. Do not miss out on it. Make sure that you go to the website, TexasStarGrillShop.com. That's TexasStarGrillShop.com. And do not miss out on this great sale going on this Saturday at all four locations, TexasGrillShop.com.
We'll take a short break. Stay tuned for more John and Lance on ESPN 97.5.
the wall, oh. Jumps, and he makes the catch!
The Houston Astros battled the Chicago White Sox in Game 4 of the ALDS.
Two pitch, oh, high fly ball, deep right center field, Robert back, angle back, Robert looks up, and it's gone!
First pitch today at 1:07. Hear every single pitch of the Astros postseason on your home of the 2021 World Series, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
This is what we do.
This is The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Now coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Lance Erline, and live from Chicago, here's John Granato.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Headlines, John Gruden resigns amidst all of the email stuff going on, and some more emails were leaked yesterday in the New York Times about him saying some ugly stuff about Roger Goodell and whatnot. The Boston Red Sox move on. Kiki Hernandez with the game-winning sack fly as they move on. How about that Dodgers game yesterday? One, Evan Longoria with a solo homer. Scherzer strikes out 10. 14 Giants strikeout. They pick up three hits, and the Dodgers still can't win. It's all that the Dodgers couldn't score a run off of Alex Wood and company. So the Dodgers down to their final game as it's 2-1 Giants now. So that's at Dodger Stadium. Scherzer on the mound, and you lose. That's got to be heartbreaking. The Ravens, they came back and won one of the most improbable wins that you'll see as they win on Monday Night Football last night. Joe Burrow out of the hospital. He had a throat. He got hit in the throat, and that had to be a little bit scary. He had to go to the hospital apparently with some issues with that. So there is that. We had Seth Wickersham on this morning. You can hear that if you didn't hear the interview. You want to hear about the new book. Bill O'Brien was brought up in it, and we had him on a little bit earlier. We had Jimbo Fisher as well, as the Aggies are fined $100,000 for storming the field. Which is no, like Aaron said, $250,000 for Arkansas and just $100,000 for the Aggies. I guess it's, yeah, the Aggies were a much bigger underdog. You think it had to do with the point spread, Lance?
I think your fines are directly related to what the point spread. You brought up the Longhorns. You said, you know, Arkansas gets $250,000. Well, you're a 7-point favorite, and Longhorns are not great on the road as favorites. So
yeah, you shouldn't be storming.
Let's be honest.
The field.
You shouldn't storm the field against teams that have a hard time covering on the road.
What was Kentucky against Florida a couple weeks ago?
Kentucky at home was similar. They were about 7.5, 8. Yeah,
they stormed the field.
Yeah,
$250,000.
Wow, and the
but that was a home game. You were a road dog. That's probably the difference too. A&M only got $100,000.
Yeah,
that's it.
You know what? Honestly, why are you getting anything? I know it's to dissuade people to do a better job of having. But A&M can't, and this is why, you know, here's the thing. Arkansas could have seen that coming.
Arkansas did see that coming. Hunter Gurecek told them, guys, let the fans do it. We'll pay it. We don't care. He was on video.
That's what
telling
I'm saying. That's what
Arkansas
I'm saying.
Arkansas State Troopers. Aaron,
I know you're a salty Longhorn right now. I get that. But let me ask you this. Are you a Longhorn? Yes or no?
I am.
Okay.
But so, I also have a wife who's an Aggie, so
let me
I don't
ask
really
you
care
this.
Either way.
The Aggies could not have been expected to have enough security around the perimeter because nobody thought they were going to win. Why would you want to hire extra security? Zach Calzada was the quarterback. No one could have seen this. I mean, except for the O'Brien thing. And I loved how we would say it kind of jokingly, like, well, Bill O'Brien's still there, so there's always a chance. That was real. That actually had an impact. Bill O'Brien had an impact on an 18-point favorite losing and potentially falling out of a playoff race, which I think they'll get it back.
No.
But, John, could the Aggies have been expected to have security there for that game? No. We thought it was wasted money for extra security. Well, to keep people from storming a field? Said no one ever until it happened.
Would those extra security guards have cost you $100,000?
I don't think so.
Okay, so you came out in the negative.
I mean,
if you would have spent the extra $30,000 to put in another 20 security guards, you probably would have been better.
This probably does.
Now they don't care. Tony Busby will write a check. They'll pay it off.
Lance, you're dead on. You couldn't have been expected to stop these people. Did you guys see the video of Seth Small's wife and family watching the kick?
Yeah, that was pretty incredible.
Wasn't it? They both, how about the mom and the wife both broke crying down and
after
cried.
He made the kick. Because you know how much pressure?
Yeah.
Like, that's, you think about that with the family. That hit home to me because I'm just thinking, man, the mom knows that if her son kicks it, he's the hero. And if he misses it, if he misses it, he's a loser who will never hear the end of it. And people will threaten their family's life on social media. Well, Aggies don't do that stuff. I think Aggies are good people, Aaron. I don't think they would make hateful. They might make hateful comments, but no one's getting their life threatened. Most Twitter would threaten their lives. But I don't think Aggie Twitter would threaten Seth Small's family's life had he missed. Aggie Twitter's good. They're not bad Twitter like that. You know, I pray for Rodrigo Blankenship, but because that's pros. Anything goes there. But
somebody said, I said he, you know what, he Blankenshipped his pants. That's not what I said. I didn't say that. Just Blankenship in your pants. I never said that. But
Blankenshipped his pants. Well, you should have said that because that's a great phrase.
It's a great line.
I'm stealing it and I'm trademarking it.
Reagan says the core always runs on the field to tackle the yell leaders after home wins.
That's
so
the core.
SEC
that's
didn't get as mad at us stands. Because we always have some action on the
so
field.
So when I was a little kid, John, let me tell you something that happened. And the Aggies, some of the Aggies listening will remember this. This isn't I don't think they were embarrassed at the time by it. It made some national news when SMU cheerleaders ran out. They were going to spell, I guess, SMU, you know, human body. They lay down and make an SMU or something like that. They spell the score of how much he scored. I'm pretty sure it was SM cheerleaders. One of the Aggies Corps of Cadet members who had a saber with him ran out and pulled his saber on the cheerleaders and was like was poised to stab them up for running on the field. Because, you know, the Aggies take that stuff pretty seriously.
There's video on YouTube. Yeah. 1981.
You see it? Was it SMU, right?
Yeah. SMU.
Yeah.
He goes and he pulls his actual his sword out.
Yeah.
And then falls over and acts like he got hit.
Yeah, he flopped. Don't start none, won't be none. And the Aggies used to be you run on that field and fans weren't allowed to be on the field. Now it's like, we beat Alabama. Get the kicker's wife out here. How about the kicker having a wife? That's an early commitment, John. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah. I don't know. Early commitments are problematic.
Well, but he's a little he's a thick kicker. Like he may not do better than that.
He's a fat Aggie kicker. That's what
was he before he got married?
What's that?
Was he before he got married, or is that post honeymoon week?
Could be post honeymoon.
It could be.
Everybody will admit once you lock it down, you just kind of enjoy a couple extra salads or a couple extra steaks and a couple extra desserts.
Yeah,
yeah,
that's possible. Yeah, that's possible.
You stop trying. There's no question.
But John, this isn't a pro. Like, he's not going to be a pro kicker, so he can lock in with marriage early, right? Or no?
You know, and she's pretty hot for him. It looks like.
Thick kickers have done worse. Probably. All right.
It's never going to work out. I mean, they'll be divorced at some point. But
Dell makes a point on text. Early commitments are non-binding.
Respect my decision.
Respect my decision.
I'm leaving you. I'm leaving you. Respect my decision.
I'm sorry. I didn't know. Listen. I didn't know so many people were going to be coming at me after I made this kick, honey. I'm just going out tonight. Don't wait up. I'll be home later.
We saw a video of him standing on top of the bench and nobody was around him.
Yeah, like his family was there. Apparently they were around him, but then weren't around him on the sideline. Because it was a good 2 minutes after they stormed the field. And video of him just sitting on the sidelines like, hey, guys, where'd my family go?
How old is Seth Small to be married like that?
Early commitments that is an are early binding, commitment. Dell, if you say I do. Okay?
He went to school in Katy, John.
Yeah, but
he's
you
a
can
Katy
say
kid.
I don't at some point, yeah.
He's a Katy kid.
He's from Katy? Good for him.
Yeah.
He's a hero. Now he's a hero.
Actually, in Texas A&M, he is a hero. Now, did it look heroic the first 2 seconds of that kick? Did that look heroic? Oh, man.
Well, I thought it was going left.
He's a senior, so he's what, 22, 23?
It's a little early to be making that kind of commitment.
Yeah, I mean, he's a freshman in 2018, 19, 20, 21. I mean, he's 20. Yeah, he might be 22. He's 21 or 22 right now.
Yeah.
That is an early commitment.
I mean,
Yeah, I've got so many questions for him. Like, how did that happen?
Well, maybe it was some
Seth
kind of spirits
wedding. I've already got his wedding pictures locked in here. That dude got married in, he graduated in 2018. Why am I locked in on his wedding stuff? This is just very strange to me that I see this at BYU. Guys lock in early at BYU. I see that all the time. Like, and he's married with two kids. Like, oh, this guy's 26. He went on, he did his mission and then took a couple gap years, whatever. I'm not, you know, and sometimes you do get the young, he did well for himself. He can't do better than this.
Yeah, so he might as well just get it done.
Yeah. No. Yeah. I mean, get in early and
quantity
see what
he
happens.
Can, quality not.
No. Well, yeah. I mean, the quantity he would have had Saturday night?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, boy.
Probably quantity and quality. But, oh, well. Oh, well. All right. You know what? Just drink it away, Lance. That's what you should do.
Well, yeah, you should. But do it with my friends over at Maestro Dobel. And we're talking about Diamante. The Diamante falls in a category that is a relatively new category that was created by Maestro Dobel. And, you know, the family is 11 generations of tequila makers. And they make tequila. You know where they make it? This is not a lie. Tequila, Mexico. Okay, 100% blue agave. And what the Diamante is, it's a separate category where they take the añejo. There's three different types of tequilas. They blend them, then they charcoal filter it. And what you get is a smooth, flavorful, high-end tequila that is great for sipping, but it also fits perfectly in your cocktails as well. And that's the difference with Maestro Dobel. Their añejo blew me away. The reposado is excellent. The añejo was incredibly smooth. There's so many different types. The silver that they have is great. There's so many different types to choose from, but I promise you the Diamante is one that you absolutely have to try for yourself. Wherever fine tequilas are sold, you're going to find them at your local liquor store. Make sure that you experience the difference of Maestro Dobel and the Cristalino known as Diamante.
ESPN 97.5.